Hey, it's C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have had this conversation off air for quite some time. Is there an athlete? Who is the athlete that really got you into sports? And nobody could tell you that they weren't the absolute best. The hell with the stats or anything else. You know what you saw, and you thought that person was the absolute best. 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Franklin, Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
I like this question, and I don't think there's any particular reason that it jumped up on me. Although I am, like, we're at a point now where we're watching players that, I mean, somebody might have watched the Bam Adebayo game, and they're like, that dude is the greatest basketball player right on the planet. Did you see how many times he went to the free throw line?
Man, did you see the people that are like, he should have stopped at 81 to be the same as Kobe?
Why didn't Wilt stop at 81?
I don't know what the record was back then. I really don't know. I'm going to look that up. Like, what was the record that he broke?
Yeah, I mean, do you think Kobe would have stopped?
No. Well,
no. Kobe would have absolutely been like, try to score 83. Right. I'm going to block your next shot.
You know, I bet at some point he was like, let's get to 102. Or
probably
101.
Yeah, whatever I can do to, you go out there to compete at the highest level. You saw what he did in the Olympics?
Yes,
he went
absolutely.
Right through his own teammate. Drove through him.
You got to win.
Just like Cal Raleigh.
Yes. Man.
Although I will say this, I did see last night in the Dominican Republic and Venezuela game, Fernando Tatis, and I can't remember who it was, for Venezuela's catcher, they hugged. And I was like, again, I can totally respect that.
Right.
I can totally respect them also having a different approach to it, different cultures. I love it.
And some of these answers already are making me so happy. From the 940, Charlie Conway. From the Mighty Ducks, from the 682, the Ultimate Warrior. From the 210, Juan Gonzalez, without a doubt. He's the whole reason I wore 19 my entire life.
That makes listen, man, we grew up watching Juan Gonzalez. I will always love Juan Gonzalez.
For sure.
No matter what, I will always love that dude. For me, Kevin,
like, whenever you say in your heart, to me, it's a crime he's not in the Hall of Fame. I realize how the numbers stack up and the other things, but I'm like, man, he was awesome.
There were two things. A, when we did our Rangers series, I loved it. It was awesome. I always hated that we couldn't get him.
Yes.
He seemed like the one that you just couldn't nail down. But whenever they said they were putting him in here in Texas,
right,
and he was coming back, I was like, oh my gosh. And honestly, I think he should have gotten a greater applause than he did.
Yes.
Rangers fans owed him that.
It was very mediocre, and I was upset about
that.
But
then again, Kevin, you've said there are some Rangers fans that believe that the Rangers just got here 10 years ago. So
that is true.
For me,
did a study about it.
Being a Rangers fan, I watched this guy do this over and over and over against our team, and it was when the Bass Brothers arrived.
Cut five.
Canseco bids for the second homer of the inning.
Watch
if it's fair, he's got it.
Whoa.
And it settles into the upper deck.
Oh, my goodness. McGuire hit one that close in that four-game series when the Oakland Athletics hit seven in the four-game series. And I mean close. This is another 20 feet into the fourth level.
All right, Alec, if you have a moment.
The way that he said Maguire.
I want that too, Maguire, but also the way that he's like, oh, it's deep, and that guy just goes, whoa! That was freaking amazing.
When Alec was like, what audio do you want? I had to go search. I went and searched and searched and searched until I found that one, because that was a guy right there that hit majestic home runs.
He did.
Like, he hit one in Boston that I believe went over the wall and landed in, like, some truck or something in the back. Like, he was just one of those that was like, could that have been 590 feet? It was insane.
Right.
But
hold on. Can you just play that one more time?
Canseco bids for the second homer of the inning.
Watch
if
this.
It's fair, he's got it.
Whoa.
And it settles into the upper deck.
Oh, my goodness. Maguire hit
all right.
That close.
Maguire.
Maguire.
But also, again, being a Rangers fan, I was watching an opponent do like he just he was bigger and stronger and hit harder, and I feared him every time he stepped to the plate. Then, you know, you go into the card shops and there's the Bash Brothers, you know, poster with them with the giant white bats dressed in suits, like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Him and Maguire.
Thank you.
But it was Jose Canseco was the dude that I just feared the most. And I was like, he's got to be the best player on the planet. And then they won a World Series. And I was like, okay, they're very, very good. And then he gets to be a Ranger and I got to see
him hit a home run off his head.
Well, yeah. So
I'm gonna go local here. I really thought about Ruben Sierra because I went back and like
he was so good.
I know, and I just checked the numbers. 1986, sixth for rookie of the year, but 1989 he finished second in AL MVP. And there was probably around that time that I was like, nobody could tell me anybody was better than him. But instead, we've gotten to have this guy in studio numerous times, hung out with him at the Final Four. Give me cut number 7. This was my first favorite Maverick, and I thought he was the best.
Down to 10 seconds. Blackman driving on Drexler, fakes, puts it up. It goes! Boy, I tell you, Blackman is getting the rolls tonight.
Man, and I loved that broadcast team. So for me, it was Rolando Blackman. And I realized, like, Michael Jordan existed and was playing. But, like, this was also at a time when maybe you didn't get to see.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get to see every Michael Jordan game for sure.
Mm, yeah.
And so you only got to see.
WGN didn't love him.
Exactly. Well, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I did not watch all the Chicago Bulls games at that time until I was a little bit older. From the 817, it's got to be Pudge. From the 858, Tony Gwynn is the one that got them into sports. That is an interesting one. I like it.
Tony Gwynn's one of my top five baseball players of all time. I just love the hitter that he was. Pudge brought so much excitement to the first game he ever played. We were like, what is this kid? And then he's like, let me throw this dude out over at first base real quick and show y'all who I am. You're like, what?
See, and that's some of these answers are going to be interesting because there was a time where I really do think you could argue that like Jose Canseco was the best or he was right at the best. Obviously, I think you could make that argument for Pudge and maybe to a certain extent, Tony Gwynn. There's a lot of things that go into it. But like, you know, some of these that people are going to say, like Rolando Blackman, somebody just said Eric Metcalf. Nobody is going to argue that that was like the best. Except for you, right? You had to stand up for your guy.
I can see it 713, like, if you just got into basketball those 2 years, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
He was that great.
Yeah.
He was that great.
He was the dude.
Michael Jordan existed.
Sure.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, like, you were just watching him just destroy Shaquille O'Neal. And you're like, what is happening right now?
I like
And Shaq wasn't Shaq yet.
Yes,
but
that is true. And Hakeem proved that. Here's two people that are about a generation apart. From the 214, I'm 54, and it was Dr. J. And then from an 817, I'm a 33-year-old Arlington native. A-Rod was the guy for me. Regardless of what happened after all that, he felt like the Ferrari in the trailer park.
Dude, here's the thing about Dr. J. And this kind of goes back to it. I was watching a video on TikTok, and he showed up. And I just remember thinking when I was a kid, Dr. J is the coolest.
Yes.
Like, he's the coolest dude out there. There's nobody that does things like when Michael Jordan was on his way. But I just remember seeing stories, seeing pictures of Dr. J and just being like, how?
Was it crazy to you when you found out he wasn't like an actual doctor?
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know why he didn't play with a stethoscope. Yeah.
I'm with you.
When he took off his warm-ups, why wasn't it a doctor's coat? Was always my question.
Here are some of the ones that I love because, again, nobody's going to argue that these people were the best, but for you, they were the best. Hank Blaylock from the 214 and Alvin Harper from the 817. And that's the thing I love about it, especially if you grew up in the Metroplex. I know not everybody here did, but like you could see how if you grew up in the Metroplex at a certain time, Alvin Harper was the best, or Hank Blaylock was the best, or Blackman was the best. Nobody nationally was saying that, but to you in that time and place, they had to be the best.
817. Sean Kemp, I'm 43. That makes so much sense.
It really does.
The Rain Man, dude.
And that 1990s Skybox card of him, like, full arm extended, ready to dunk the basketball.
I have that card. I love
it
so much.
His Fleer card is awesome that year. Now, Alec,
my cousin traded me that card. I don't remember what
it's
for.
It's a cool card.
But I just remember it, maybe it was a Sherwin Williams card or something.
And you're like, I did the best. Mm-hmm. Alec, I'm going to go to you, cut number six. This is an interesting one, too, because I could see how you could make a stronger argument that this player was closer to being the actual best.
And the Mavericks, Jason Kidd. Oh, what a pass to Terry. Makes the defensive play, gets the steal, and as pretty of a pass as you'll ever see.
So this was tough for me.
Okay.
Because
was that from his second time around?
Yes. And interesting. It was tough for me because I still vividly remember the NFL game that got me into football.
Which was?
It was Seahawks versus 49ers late in the season in 2013. Russell Wilson versus Colin Kaepernick. It was 19-17. The 49ers, with like 30 seconds-ish left in the game, kicked a field goal to win the game. And it was just so intense, and I loved the two running quarterbacks. That got me into football. But this, for me, Jason Kidd, the way that I even discovered he existed was odd. Was growing up, my mom, whenever she would go shopping for birthdays and stuff, she was on the cheaper side when it came to like video games and stuff.
Right.
So I want to say it was like 2012, 2013. She got me NBA 2K9 out of the clearance bin. And
have you gotten any other awesome 2K games lately?
Yes, from you. WWE 2K26. Thank you. It's awesome. And I'm going to download it tonight and get to work. But,
to work.
Yeah, trust me, the My GM mode, I'm going to make SmackDown great again. I'm going to.
Oh!
I'm saying it now. Road Dog, bye. But anyways, whenever you got the game, you would have the loading screen because back then it took forever for these games to download. It took like all day, but they would give you like, you could pick from like five characters on the loading screen and you could just shoot around an empty court just to kill time. And Jason Kidd was one of those characters. And I was like, huh, like I've heard of him, but I don't really know him. So instead of just shooting around after like 15 minutes or so, I decided to look him up and like watch highlights and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is awesome. And then I started watching him on TV for real. And I'm like, dude, this guy rules. Like, he's not the biggest guy on the court by any means.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that's helping everybody else, especially in the later stage of his career. Like, the highlight that we played, it was some of the crazy passes and stuff and helping his teammates be great. That I was just like, nobody's going to give him his flowers for this play.
Yeah.
But he's the reason they scored on this play and they eventually won the game. So the facilitator that he was, the three-point shooter that he was at one point, I just thought he was the best and nobody could tell me anything otherwise.
I love everything about that answer. And you might have noticed one person we haven't mentioned so far.
Nick Van Exel.
I mean, that's true. From the 214, from another 214, from the 469, from the 972, Ken Griffey Jr. That answer is everywhere on here. And how could it not be? Like, if you're of a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best. Like, you could legitimately argue he was the best. Or maybe that's not even really an argument. He had the style. He had the enthusiasm. I know he, like, maybe didn't invent it, but it felt like he made the backwards hat a thing.
I specifically remember the first time I saw Ken Griffey Jr. live. My dad and I were at a game, and my dad goes, oh my gosh, did you just see that? And I was like, I mean, there's a lot going on, Dad. What are you talking about? And he goes, watch this. And Ken Griffey Jr. is back to the wall, flat-footed, throwing the ball from center field into the dugout at third base.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, you know, just being a kid that threw the baseball all the time, just watching him do it with such ease.
Yeah.
He's not crow hopping. He's just launching that sucker. And that was when I was like, all right, who is this guy? I was young and I was like, who is this guy? And he was like, that's Ken Griffey Jr. You're going to want to keep an eye on him. And then we went to go hunt down the card.
Yes.
You know, like at that point, that's when we start hunting. And like this dude was, it was mind blowing watching him.
I mean, there are other factors at play, of course, but his 1989 Upper Deck number one card, it started the next iteration of the hobby boom. And it is kind of ironic that we're going to be at the Dallas Card Show tomorrow.
Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think? I love these personal stories from the 479. I grew up watching Arkansas football, so it was Darren McFadden that really got me into sports. From the 575, Michael Crabtree. That catch versus Texas was my first sports moment that I remember as a child. And I know that's a big play and people remember that, but I love that, like, those specific plays or Alec breaking down the specifics of a 2013 Seattle Seahawks game, that you're able to be like, this is the game that got me into sports. We've talked about it before. Like, I remember when the Sidekicks were playing, I think it was the Sockers for the championship, and it wasn't, like, easy to find that game. And you're just like, this is live or die. Even though you're like, it's not. You're going to be okay. You get to keep living your life. But, like, how many times do you still feel that way in sports? You're like, my goodness, if the Stars don't win this game, I'm going to die. And you're like, you'll be okay. But in that moment, that's how you feel.
Dude, Carter, my son Carter, I'm sorry, I know we're late here. My son Carter yesterday, their orchestra sweeps. They got all ones and everything. And he looked at me and said, the outcome isn't as exciting as I thought it'd be.
Oh.
And I said, but what about the friends you made along the way?
Gross. Look at Alec. He's the happiest he's ever been.
You know what he said?
You're right,
Dad. I was already friends with all of them.
Oh, yes! That's the Carter I know. He's not there to have your weird, heartfelt moment.
So that was fun.
All right, well, then you just need to have a discussion with him about making sure to stop and enjoy.
I think the only two things that have really been as exciting as I thought they would be, you know, kids are great and everything. But, like, winning the World Series was everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks winning that championship, those two things lived up to, I put so much care into it, and it matters this much to me.
Yeah.
And then being able to celebrate with the Tolos, oh my gosh.
By the way, from the 469, Mark Aguirre was that guy for me. I went to the game where his number got retired. It was one of the greatest times of my life, and we just had him on after that. Just know, he felt the same way. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
Mayfield looks left all the way. Single coverage, one-on-one. Oh! Benjamin St. Juiced for a 17-yard touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, so much feedback in that last segment. Honestly, what I said was I think we probably could have done that for the entire hour, but we will continue to move on. Saw so many awesome texts from Tattoo to Dirk and Nash and Finley, Dave Winfield, Rafael Palmeiro, Magic Johnson, and all kinds of other players in between. Freaking awesome. Right now, for you guys, I have some NFL overreaction or reality. I'm going to start with this. This might sound weird.
Yep. Then
I mean, you can. Overreaction or reality, Tua is better than Michael Penix. I'm excited to kind of see how that plays out, honestly.
Oh, man, this is an overreaction.
Okay.
Slightly better with more experience.
Okay.
I think that Penix has a better arm. And Tua's arm was fine. I think there were a lot of other things in the way for him. But I think the experience helps him right now. And Penix needs to learn how to manage a game. It's very similar to Rocker for me when it comes to Penix. Like, he just needs to understand the whole game and then let the arm be its thing. But okay. I'll say overreaction.
Alec, overreaction or reality? Tua is better than Michael Penix.
Overreaction. Not much thought needed for that. Tua's not very good at football.
You really think Michael Penix is very good at football?
I'm Corey.
I'm seriously asking.
I'm with Corey, where I feel like unfortunate circumstances have gotten in the way from him even realizing if he's got a grip on NFL football yet.
He seemed to have like complete grip on the college game.
Yes, and I think he has the poise. I think he has the football IQ. I think he has what it takes to be an NFL quarterback for, you know, a good amount of time in the league. Do I think he's going to be a top five guy at any point? Probably not, but I think he is a good starting quarterback. He just, one, has had disarray around him, surrounding the team, because that front office hasn't gotten it figured out in a while. The roster has been kind of in flux for a while. And then you talk about the injuries that he just can't stay away from either. So if he could stay on the field, you know, this isn't even a conversation, and Tua signing with another team. But I don't see a world where it's close. I understand why they make the move to bring in Tua. Somebody has to play week one, but I don't think there's a conversation there.
It is amazing to me also, Kevin, how many teams need to fix their offensive lines. And how many times we're just like, I mean, if they had a little bit better of off. Now, I'm not saying he'd be that much better.
I got you.
But even Kirk Cousins, who is a pretty decent quarterback, had some moments where it was just like, this offensive line's not giving me anything. And that's the case for, dude, that's the thing. Defenses are built to beat offensive lines, and not all offensive lines are built to beat defenses.
NFL overreaction or reality? Forget where he's going. You're sad that Mike Evans is leaving the Bucs.
Overreaction.
I think I am sad.
Oh, good for you.
Man!
Kevin, I am a product of free agency. Mm-hmm. I am a product of teams move around, players move around, GMs get pushed out of town because they make a Luka trade. You know, like, things happen.
Sure.
So I am a product of nothing's going to stay the same, except for us here on The Fan, you know what I mean?
I don't know, way you set that up feels like. All right.
No, I love it here at The Fan.
Alec, Corey. Did not feel this question whatsoever. Overreaction or reality? Forget where he's going. You're sad that Mike Evans is leaving the Bucs.
I'm just amazed. We went from the friends we made along the way to screw loyalty. I don't care. Go get your money.
Yeah.
Everybody moves. Everybody leaves. Screw tradition. We're not going to fire the cannons anymore. We're going to learn a new tradition in the Bay Area.
Fire,
I don't know what
the cannons.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly kind of am, just because I've always known Mike Evans as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You know, like, I was familiar with his college game and everything, but that was the one consistent thing in the NFL was there is a wide receiver that plays in the NFC South that is going to get 1,000 yards every single season, and he's going to look amazing doing it. And it does make me kind of sad. One, because that division is trash and it needs all the help that it can get. And two, it is cool whenever you see the guy, he stuck around forever. He got his Super Bowl. So I was like, okay, he's just going to keep getting 1-year deals or 1-year extensions, and he's going to end his career there. And it's going to be a fairy tale story. And nope, he's going to try to chase another ring with a team that I hate.
For Mike Evans, over-unders, 950.5 yards and 6.5 touchdowns.
With Brock Purdy? That's it?
You going over both?
2,000 yards on like 8 catches.
That
40 touchdowns.
That is too many.
He should put up Madden numbers, bro. This is Brock Purdy we're talking about here. No, seriously, with Mike Evans, we have to understand he is older. He is now Brock Purdy. But he is in a Shanahan offense. And I'm fascinated to watch how Shanahan creates explosive plays for him, because Mike Evans' history has been go deep. Well, what can he do when he's running a slant and there's nobody in front of him? That's what I want to see.
All right, so what do you say? 950.5 and 6.5. Over or low?
I was going to say reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Reality.
Yeah, I accept that.
Okay.
Alec, 950.5 yards. Mike Evans, 6.5 touchdowns. Overreaction or reality? He hits the over on both.
Reality.
Woo!
I think it will. This might have been the best move for him, going to a Kyle Shanahan offense. He, even at his age, he might be a demon.
This one is interesting. Let's go to the Cowboys. Overreaction or reality? Rashawn Gary will have more than 7.5 sacks. That is the over under on him.
Where's he playing? You and I have kind of been.
We talked about
trying
this.
To figure this out exactly.
Maybe
because
some left side defensive end to go along with.
Yeah, I think his responsibilities can be as a linebacker. He can dip down into one of those four man, five man fronts also, and be your left end. So I'm trying to figure out exactly where he's playing.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
We did work on that this morning.
That's a big number for a guy that I think is rotational part. I think they're going to add another body at that at his type
if
of position.
If they don't, he's not rotational then, right? Or mostly not rotational.
Yeah. If they don't, I think he can get that number.
Okay.
I think he can definitely get that number.
Alec?
It's tough because
my inclination is to go under.
I want to also just because I don't know, like Corey said, where he's going to play, how much he's going to play. But the more I think about what this defense is going to look like schematically, I think he is going to play multiple spots and he is going to find himself in some pretty open looks at times just because.
Okay.
Hey, I think this coordinator actually knows how to scheme pressure. So I know he hasn't coached a single game yet, but I think just from listening to him that he knows what he's talking about. So I think he could find himself in favorable spots. So I'd say, you know what? Reality.
Overreaction or reality?
Can I point something out real quick?
Yeah. They had no sacks in the last 11
games?
No,
I'm looking at Vic Fangio's defense last year. Nobody had more than six sacks, according to the advanced stats that come from Pro Football Reference at the moment.
Okay.
Nobody had more than six. And so if it's a very similar defense, I got to go look and see if there's anybody else the last few years. But it might just be one of those where you're just like, everybody gets three. You know, and you don't know where that pressure's coming from. You might get it from three from your safety and three from this guy and three from that guy. So maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay. All right. Overreaction.
You pay me like that.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding.
You're going to okay me like that now?
Don't try to reenact that AI fight.
No, this is the Key and Peele bit where they're texting back and forth, and he's like, "Oh, really?" Now, go ahead, Kevin. You got to watch it; it's hilarious.
Overreaction or reality? You'd rather Sam Howell be the Cowboys' backup quarterback than Joe Milton?
Sam Howell just signed, by the way.
Yeah.
So he just signed his paperwork. That's a good thing. Not really.
Oh.
So that's an overreaction. The truth is that I don't think Joe Milton can play the position yet. The reality is, I think that my hope is that he can, because he's got the electric things that you want. He's got maybe the most electric arm. He's got the most electric arm on the team.
Sure.
He can run like crazy. But then there was a moment where he was running and he was trying to fix his chin strap at the same time and he fumbled the ball. And I was like, dude.
So that's not what you want.
No. So if I need to win a game, I do trust Sam Howell more right now.
Okay.
And that's what you have a backup quarterback for. Two reasons. One for development. One for if I need to win a game. Well, if you're really putting your eggs in this basket this year, then you need to win a game in case something happens to Dak. And I think Sam Howell can do that more than Joe Milton right now.
Alec, overreaction or reality? You would rather Sam Howell be the Cowboys' backup quarterback than Joe Milton.
It's taking everything in me to not say push, because I view them just in terms of productivity, talent different. Productivity, I view them the same, but I'm going to say overreaction just because whether it actually works or not, I think Joe Milton is unpredictable enough to where he's harder to game plan against, just because everything that Corey said.
Wild card!
Yeah, he could.
I mean, that is true.
He could try to tie his shoe in the middle of a play. I'm not game planning for that. I don't know. He's trying to fix chin straps.
If nobody touches him, that play is live.
Exactly. So it could be beautiful. It could be some sort of Statue of Liberty, like, you know, backyard football style play that he's running, and I would have no clue. I seriously do think that just because of his talent and his arm alone, he's harder to game plan for. So just because of that, I'd say that I'd lean towards him, but I'm okay with either.
Okay. Overreaction or reality? Kenneth Walker and whoever else you want to throw in there will help lead the Chiefs eventually back to the Super Bowl.
Who's throwing the ball for them?
Eventually, Mahomes. They said some people are saying he'll be ready by the start of the season. I think Glazer said that. And he told us who to pick as a coach.
Eventually, you say?
Yeah.
Eventually this year?
No, the next three years.
Yes.
Okay.
I think, you know, again, if he's healthy, Kenneth Walker is a perfect fit for what Andy Reid wants to do to help lengthen Patrick Mahomes' career. Patrick Mahomes cannot continue to run around and do all the things that he does all the time with his cape on. And so you can only ask so much out of him. You got to balance it out just a little bit to give him, to take a little pressure off of him. So, yeah, I think because Mahomes still has all those qualities to him, and then he'll be able to balance it with a good run game. Now, that's the thing, too, is you got to convince your offensive line to have the mindset of, when we run, we kill you with the run.
Right.
And when we pass protect. You know, you got to have a balanced offensive line, too, because sometimes offensive lines get lazy, and they're like, let's just keep pass pro. Like, Mahomes can do it all.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like we saw that in the Super Bowl. Kenneth Walker signed for 3 for $45 million with $28.7 million guaranteed. Alec, overreaction or reality? Kenneth Walker will help lead the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years.
Reality. I think that was the easiest low-hanging fruit move that they could have made. Their run game needed help. You give another weapon to Patrick Mahomes, which Kenneth Walker, he's not exactly the best pass-catching back, but whenever he does catch the ball and gets ahead of steam, he's scary. And he adds an element to that offense that hasn't been there for a minute. So I think that move alone is just genius, and it's going to pay off. But getting Mahomes back and healthy and everything, I think that offense is going to look fine, especially if my nightmare scenario happens of them somehow getting Kenyon Sadiq on that team, and then they just decide, hey, yeah, screw it. Rams, y'all are smart. Let's do 3 tight end sets all the time. You know, something like that. That offense is going to be scary. That defense is good every year now, it feels like, and you can name maybe 2 players on that defense off the top of your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not?
All right, overreaction or reality? Malik Willis will be a good starting quarterback in Miami. I could define that for you. Or
yeah, please define good.
All right, so let's say something like 3,300 yards and 20 touchdowns, and Miami is competitive.
Okay, so not 3,300 yards, 20 touchdowns, and they're always playing from behind.
Yeah, exactly.
That's different worlds.
Yeah, and then he just stacks up the, yeah.
That's where Choppy this morning was talking about a certain stat, and he was like, I don't like that stat because there's not enough nuance to it. And I was like, yeah, you do kind of need some of the nuance what's actually happening. Man, if he's, I don't think so, Tim.
Okay.
I just don't see Malik Willis doing that. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm not offended.
I know you,
as
I
was
you
to
want,
that one question.
I know you won.
No, it was the Mike Evans question that really broke my heart. Alec, overreaction or reality? Malik Willis will be a good starting quarterback in Miami.
Overreaction. There's no way of knowing that he's going to be good. I don't care if he had 150 passing yards in a game for the Packers this season and he just didn't turn the ball over. It's like, good. You did the one thing that you were not supposed to do. Like, you stayed away from turnovers. You won a couple games. Sure. Nothing about it was pretty. You know, he just did his job. He was a serviceable backup, and I think things got overinflated just because everybody knew that in the draft process, he was thought of a little bit higher than what he actually was in the NFL the past couple of years. So I think that it goes back to what Corey was saying a few weeks ago. The NFL is so desperate for better quarterback play So he got more money than he was supposed to, and he landed in a spot that he probably shouldn't have. It's nothing against him. It's just the state of the league right now and the state of that franchise. So I don't think they're going to set him up very well either.
By the way, this is in an overreaction reality. I just didn't get a chance to bring it up earlier. The updated list of Cowboys draft picks. So they have the two first, 12 and 20. They have a third round pick, 92. A fourth round pick, 112. Three fifth round picks, 150, 177, and 180. And then one seventh round pick, which is 218.
What do you think they're doing with 218, dude?
I don't know. Got to wait. Got to see what the board. Oh, all right. And then you'll have a second round pick to go along with it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And you know what? How about we do some Masterpiece Theater? In case you're ever wondering, I'll just tell you from my dance, that's a monocle and a cane.
I had to change my dance.
Man, you did.
Because my old dance used to be a inside joke with Kevin.
Yeah.
But I cannot do that now.
Come to the Dallas Car Show tomorrow. Corey will probably tell you definitely not on air. Maybe what that was.
Definitely not on
air.
Yeah,
definitely not on air. All right.
Because it's a funny joke.
I get it.
But
yes.
But it's just...
No, I understand. So... You'll probably be able to guess when I tell you what my movie selection is, what had me thinking about this. But our question for the day is, what's the last movie you saw that you just hated?
Mm.
Now, this is mine. It's not a new movie. It's a movie that is like 40 years old, but I just saw it for the first time.
It's the last movie you just saw?
But I just saw it for the first time in the last few months. And then the happenings of a few weeks ago reminded me how much I hated this movie. Can you give me cut number 9? And if you don't recognize the music, I'll tell you what the movie is. Do you know the song? This song is great. This is the love theme from St. Elmo's Fire. Now,
never seen it.
It sucks.
Isn't that a restaurant up in Indianapolis?
And that is what made me think of this, is because they were talking about going to St. Elmo's. And that obviously is a part of the movie as well. But that's
because
of
the shrimp cocktail.
That's what had me thinking about it. I love the Brat Pack. I love most Brat Pack movies. I love 80s movies.
Shrimp.
Yeah, I do love shrimp. My expectations were high, and I hated this movie. It is so difficult to find a likable character in this movie. And like, I knew you were in for some early adult angst and whatnot. There are so many unlikable characters in this movie. So no matter how awesome this theme song is, and it is, I hated
it. Doesn't
St. Elmo's Fire.
I'll be honest, dude. This definitely sounds like the theme song to 30-something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, doesn't it? It's right
just
in that.
Scale it down about 7 years and it's the same thing. Like, it's the same thing.
And so is that Kenny G? Like, when he started? Good God, that's amazing.
It does feel like it. So that's my question. What's the last movie you saw that you hated? Man, there are some pretty shocking answers coming in.
By the way, Charlie Puth, who sang one of the songs before the game, was it the national anthem, the Super Bowl, the big game?
Yep.
He had reached out to Kenny G and was like, hey, can you do some soprano sax on one of my songs? And he was like, a couple weeks went by. I didn't think anything of it. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get a text. Can you send me the song? I'd like to hear it so I can figure out what to play. And then Kenny G did the freaking song for him, dude. It's awesome.
Awesome. Man, that is, okay.
Is it because Kenny G is the only person we know that plays that sax? Or is it because he's that good?
I think it's probably the second one. Somebody asked from the 817, how could you not have liked Demi Moore? Here's one of the issues. In that movie and a lot of movies.
Her face doesn't look the same.
That is true, and not just in the substance. Which, by the way, I did like that movie. The last 20 minutes are weird as hell. So, do you ever get mad at characters because they make the dumbest decisions? Or do you get mad at them because they make dumb decisions that you made and you just want to reach into the past and you're like, no, I did that too. Don't do that.
I guess there are moments where I'm like, you know, if you say this answer, it's going to go bad. why are you putting us through this movie? So
right.
I guess it's more not it's more about I know it's a dumb decision. Why would you make that decision? Like, why would you go up the stairs? We were told in the first Scream movie, don't run upstairs.
You know what somebody just said? The new Scream, they hated it. Such a cash grab. From the 682, recently saw Love Actually, such an eye roll. The new SpongeBob movie, but I told you there's some shocking answers on here. From the 817, they said, Colby, not me, the most recent movie they saw that they hated was John Wick. And they said it was the dumbest plot since every other Keanu Reeves movie. Eh, they killed his dog. From the 817, which was a metaphor for a whole... Anyways, Oppenheimer, man, that might be from Mike.
Oh.
From the 4... Mike hated that movie. From the 469...
For one reason, right?
Oh, yeah, because there is a...
Because of sex.
I'll agree. There's a superfluous nude scene in there, and he's like, this movie sucks.
I didn't need it.
From the 469, 28 Days Later was boring. No, I love that movie, but I respect your right to your opinion. So, there you go. That's it for me. Keep texting in your answers. Corey? I knew this answer before I even saw the audio.
Really?
Yes.
Alec, will you play my theme music, please?
I knew this because I asked about watching it, and you told me.
Was forced to get Peacock. And I was like, well, since I freaking have it, I might as well see what they got. And the first movie they were highlighting was Jurassic Park Rebirth, which I was like, oh man, Warzone, Rebirth Island was the first thing I was thinking, which is, Kevin, it is Alcatraz Island, if you want to know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's why in my video when I was on the bridge, I was like, hey, all you Warzone guys, y'all know, time to drop in. There's a sniper up there. I watched this, and there is nothing Scarlett Johansson can do to make this movie better. As, you know, we know who she is.
She's trying.
It's the worst. The deaths, just the random times that these things attack, everything's very predictable, and nothing gets satisfied from it. Kevin, don't watch it if you have a chance to not watch it.
Because I hated the last one.
I like the Jurassic series.
I do too, except for that last
one. Even that Vince Vaughn one, I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Was that part two?
Two or three, yeah, two, I think, yeah. The first one was spectacular. Like, it changed everything we thought. It was like, hold on, we can see dinosaurs. This is amazing. And since then,
we get bored of them.
Just gotten worse. No, dude, this one, they're like, guess what? It's a T-Rex crossed with a bonehead thing, crossed with maybe a pterodactyl and a couple human arms hanging off of its teats. All right? Like, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. And this thing just like hunts you down like it's a mad human. No. Oh, it's the worst. I watched it so you don't have to.
See, and that could be a segment in of itself. I'm going to get to you in just one second, Alec.
It's from the 817. Somebody said Saltburn, hours I can't get back of my life. I wish at times whenever things flash back into my head that I hadn't seen it. But I also understand that thing was so weird.
That scene at the grave.
The scene in the bathtub.
Forever.
The bathtub scene was just awkward.
From the 214, man, we're going after some prestige movies here. The Shape of Water, gross. From the 469.
I don't like shapes.
That's what they said. I really like that movie. From the 469 and the 785. One battle after another. Now, let's talk about that movie for a second. I think that movie is vastly overrated. It is most likely going to win Best Picture and Best Director this weekend. I think both of those should go to Sinners, which is an infinitely better movie than One Battle or Another. I also think Sean Penn is a dip-ass, but he is fantastic in that movie. He is easily the best part about that movie, even though he plays a terrible person and he's a dip-ass in real life. He is fantastic in that movie, but I think One Battle or After Another is going to win a lot of Academy Awards. this weekend. But I'm with you. It's overrated. It's too long. I didn't hate it. I just thought it was too long. Alec, we've got a lot of passion coming out. By the way, one other one, Poor Things. Have you ever seen Poor Things? It's got Emma Stone in it.
I was told it was a little tough to watch.
It is very tough to watch. It is very, like, clunky in terms of they want you to get this message, and man, will they beat you over the head with it. It is very strange. I could see how somebody would hate that movie. I didn't hate it, but it's really effing weird. Alec?
I used to be a big proponent of, or at least not scared of, franchise reboots.
Oh, yeah.
I was at least open to the idea. I was like, they can be executed well. It's happened before. It'll happen again. Then I lost all faith in that concept when I saw The Exorcist Believer.
Oh.
The latest rendition of The Exorcist was the most pointless movie ever released. Mm. It was just...
I don't think I saw that.
It was a rinse and repeat of every Exorcist movie ever. I thought the first half hour had some purpose to it, the character-driven parts of it. I was like, okay, I'm starting to understand things. And then it was the same jump scares that you have seen for 30 years now. And it was so incredibly predictable to the point where I forgot what the name of this movie was. So I Googled the last Exorcist movie, and the first article that came up from Rolling Stone, the headline reads, "The Exorcist Believer Can Go Straight to Hell." Like, this movie sucked. Good, it was so bad.
From the 214, my 8-year-old said Romeo and Juliet because they die in the end is the worst movie. All right, so she hates it. Let's go to another daughter text. From the 469, my daughter wanted to go watch the live-action Little Mermaid when it came out. It was so cringe, I almost walked out. That's a tough thing, though, because then you're going to have to take your daughter. Like, maybe your daughter loves it, and that just feels rude. Look, that's one of the things they don't tell you about being a parent, is you're going to have to go see some garbage movies in the theater or streaming or whatever, because your kid wants to see it, and you're like, this movie sucks.
That's why I like streaming them, because I can always get up and leave the room.
Yeah. That's
like, oh, hey, I'll be right back. I got to go poop. And they know that I'm going to be gone for a while.
From the 469, most recent movie you hated, Barbie. From the 903, Rise of Skywalker. There are some shocking opinions. I had no idea so many people dislike John Wick that are coming through. And somebody said Kevin likes bad movies, though. But I will tell you the clarification. Like, I didn't tell you that Slacks or Thanksgiving was like a traditionally good movie. I admitted.
Big fan of Sneaks.
That I don't think I've seen that one.
The sneaker movie?
I mean, that feels like something I would watch. I admitted when it was stupid, but that's why I liked it. We're the KNC masterpiece right here. I'm going to look that movie up on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
First off, I'm being shocked. Somebody's telling me my old On the Border's being closed down. I got to go check and confirm this. Secondly, I explain Senior Assassin next in The Fan.